known as the Sermon on the Mount. Really, it's the drash, the teaching of Yeshua, the Messiah, about the Torah and about just Hashem in general, the Lord in general, and how we are to be as believers. So we're kind of methodically going through these because this is real practical stuff. These are real practical nuggets. You know, sometimes you read things in Scripture and it's like really up there in the clouds and it's like, oh, that's so nice. But then you read some stuff that's really good, solid teachings to you that you can just sink your teeth into, right? It's kind of like that meat versus the milk. And you can really apply this to your life. A lot of people think the meat of Scripture is all this stuff on prophecy and all this like stuff that you can't understand unless you've been a believer for 20 or 30 years. But a lot of times the meat is the real nuts and bolts that increases your faith, that shows you the character of God, and that brings you more in line with the following of Yeshua. Because at the end of the day, we're followers of Yeshua. We're disciples of Yeshua. And so as we listen to the master here, as we listen to our rabbi speak these words in Matthew 5 through 7, as he's teaching the multitudes, just imagine, as I've said before, that you're back there by the Sea of Galilee in the Galilee area, and you're listening to this rabbi who had captivated the entire country of Israel. This was in the first year of his ministry on earth, and it was just amazing the things he was saying, because as the scripture said, he taught as if someone who had authority and not like the teachers of the law that they had. But we're going to be talking today, if you want to just turn to Matthew chapter 7. We've made it to chapter 7. Hey, took us 8 weeks. We made it to chapter 7. So, but there's, like I said, there's really good stuff here. We're going to be talking today about a really misunderstood passage of Scripture. And hopefully we could shed some light on it, go through it, and kind of break it down and really get some good nuggets out of this. It's one of those scriptures or one of those passages of Scripture that people routinely take out of context because they just, like a lot of passages of Scripture, if you just read it, you'll get kind of one thought about it, but you have to really dig in and understand the context. You have to understand what Yeshua is saying, and you really have to understand the times too. So we're going to travel back in time, not to the Galilee today, but to another place. I'll tell you in a moment. But this is one of those passages. We're going to start with Matthew 7. We're just going to read the first verse together. Matthew 7, 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Now, everybody in the world, let alone believers, knows that scripture, right? They know that scripture. Judge not that you may be judged. That is the most common, probably one of the most knowledgeable passages of scripture or sentences of scripture. Everybody knows it. Believers, non-believers, people that don't even believe in God, they can quote you Matthew 7:1. Judge not that you not be judged. So it's very misunderstood because you've got a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds and thoughts and beliefs that are saying that, right? We're not to judge. We're to let live and let live. You know, you've heard all these things. What you're doing is between you and God. Just, you're okay. Or, what you're doing is between, what I'm doing is between me and God, so don't judge me, right? We heard that a lot. We're just called to love. You've heard that before? Don't judge. We're just called to love. There's a quote from Mother Teresa. This is a famous quote that says, if you judge people, you have no time to love them. Now, that's an interesting quote, but is that really what the Bible teaches us about judgment? That we're never supposed to judge, but rather just to love people. You know what I like to term this. You know, the Greek word, one of the Greek words for love, there's three words in Greek that mean love. One of them is agape. And I like to coin this type of stuff, sloppy agape. You know, it's sloppy agape. It's all grace and no truth, right? Let's just love everybody. Everybody's okay. I'm okay. You're okay. Let's not judge each other. Let's just live in harmony with each other, no matter what you think or no matter what you do. You know, the scripture says in the book of John that Yeshua came to us full of grace and truth. The scripture doesn't say that Yeshua came to us full of grace, teaching us just to love no matter what. The scripture says Yeshua came full of grace and truth. Grace being, you've got to show grace to people and love people, yes. But there's also the truth aspect too. And truth is truth. and good is good and bad is bad. So we have to kind of balance this out today. And this, you know, Mother Teresa did a lot of wonderful things, but I don't think this quote really does justice to the scripture on this type of thing. So yes, we're to love people, but is there scriptural precedent for judging people? We will see as we get into the Word today, as we dig into a few scriptures, that there are times to judge others and that judging them is and can be love, right? We have this notion that if we love somebody, we just let them do whatever they want. Do you love your children? The answer is yes, right? You love your children. I love my children. Do I just let them do whatever they want all the time? Just love them no matter what? No, especially when they're young. I'm trying to teach them right from wrong. I'm trying to balance grace and truth with my kids, just as the scripture teaches us. So judging, if it's done the right way, that's why we need to talk about it. Judging done the right way can truly be loving towards people. But like most things, when we misquote or mischaracterize scripture, it's because we're trying to do something. We're trying to justify our own beliefs, our own behavior, which may or may not fall in line with scripture. I'm talking about we being the world, everybody in the world, you know, believers, non-believers. When we misquote and mischaracterize scripture many times, we're doing it because we're justifying our own beliefs or our own behavior, which may be contrary to what the Bible says. We try to fit the Bible into our own worldview, don't we? Rather than fitting our worldview into what the Bible says. This is a common thing, even amongst believers today. When people say judge not, it's sometimes because they have some sin or some issue in their life, or could have some issue in their life, and they don't want to be corrected about it. So let's dig in today. We're going to dig into this passage and what does it really mean to judging, and what is judging all about, and what does the Bible really say? So I said we're going to go back in time. We're traveling back in time about 2,000 years. We're not going to Israel. We're going to a city named Corinth. You've all heard of Corinthians, right? The Corinthians in the scripture. There's two books in the Bible, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Well, they were written, guess what? For the church in Corinth, the congregation in Corinth. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's get that ready as I set the stage here. The book of 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul, Rab Shaul, to address ongoing issues and disputes within the newly formed and believing congregation in Corinth. 2,000 years ago, Yeshua came, he died and was resurrected, he ascended to heaven. All these new congregations were popping up of believers, Jewish and non-Jewish believers. And what was happening was there was a lot of stuff going on, as you can imagine, by starting a new congregation and forming something kind of from scratch. And the book of Corinthians, as I said, was written to address some of these issues going on as they were going through the process of coming together as a congregation. The Corinthian congregation was having trouble with issues within itself. And it was a lot of different things. It ranged from legal disputes with other members of the congregation to sexual immorality that was going on within the congregation and largely within Corinth. Now, of course, as in all scripture, we can take what's written in Corinthians 2,000 years ago. We can what? Apply it to our lives today. Because the Bible is as relevant to us today as it was 2,000 years ago. And when Rab Shaul, the Apostle Paul, is speaking to the Corinthians 2,000 years ago in the letter that he sent, he can also be directly speaking to us today, 2,000 years later. That's one of the reasons the Bible is such an anointed and inspired and infallible word. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, just like the Lord, isn't it? You can pick it up, and it can stir you, and it can challenge you, and it is the word of God, and every bit as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. So Paul is addressing in Corinthians, and 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians, how to treat each other and how to regard each other. And here's the fundamental point. So let's read it. 1 Corinthians 5, 12, and 13. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. So what was going on, again, was a lot of disputes within the congregation. And he's making a distinction here. He's saying, what do you have to do with judging people outside of the congregation? Do you not, though, outside the congregation, God judges them. He had a lot of problems with people in the congregation and issues going on there. People outside obviously refer to non-believers, those not part of the congregation, or really those not part of the faith. They did not believe in Yeshua. They didn't believe in God. Remember, Corinth was a city, a pagan city. They believed in all sorts of gods. There was a lot of Greek stuff going on as far as worship and all this other stuff. So it was not a good environment. And he's making a distinction between the outside people and the inside people. The point here he's making is those that are not part of the faith, those that are outside, why are we wasting our energy doing something that God should be doing, which is judging them? People on the outside, we should not be judging. And I'll get to what I mean in a minute. It doesn't mean that what they're doing is fine on the outside. It doesn't mean that what they're doing is not sin, because it is sin. It was sin and it is sin. It was sin 2,000 years ago with the stuff going on in Corinth. And you know what? It's sin today outside of these walls in the world. What's going on here? Of course, these people on the outside, the non-believers, are sinning. They have not repented of their sins. They have not believed that Yeshua the Messiah is the true Messiah, and they have not yielded their lives to him. They are not followers of Yeshua. So what do we expect when we start saying, well, they should be doing this and they should be doing that? They're not even believers. They're not even believers. We spend a lot of time in today energy railing against the world. I do it sometimes. You do it sometimes. You do it, especially if I'm friends with you on Facebook. I see you doing it. Everybody on, you know, sometimes you have to take Facebook breaks because, like, of all the crazy railing about the outside people on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not just picking on Facebook. It's everything. You know, we have this habit of seeing things, seeing sin, and saying, that's wrong, you know, blah, 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 blah. And we just go on and on. But what I'm saying to you today is, just as the Apostle Paul was, don't worry. Don't waste your time with people outside. Yes, they're sinning. Call it sin. And let's be done with it. We have enough things on our plate. We have enough things to worry about as believers. Yes, it is awful what's going on outside. Yes, their works are immoral. This world is very dark and people's hearts are black with sin, aren't they? People are filled with sin. The world is ruled by Hasatan, Satan, the prince of the air. All these things going on in the world today, from killing by ISIS to what's going on within our country with abortion. All this stuff is outside of the believing community. This is stuff that, yes, it's wrong. But again, let's not expend all of our energy worrying about what's going on around us. And I promise you, I wrote this message before the Supreme Court ruling yesterday. I did. And when it happened, I forgot all about that it was happening. And of course, the Supreme Court ruling was in favor of gay marriage. Made it legal throughout the United States as of yesterday in this country. And listen, it is against scripture. It is wrong. Homosexuality is a sin. The LGBT movement today has such an agenda within our TVs, within the internet, within pop culture. And it is, let's just call it sin because it's sin. You know why it's sin? Because the Bible says it's sin. Not because I think it's sin or you think it's sin. Scripture is scripture. And you know what? I 20-something years ago when I became a believer, I said to myself, am I going to follow and make my worldview what this book says or what it says outside? And I chose this Bible. I chose that even if I didn't understand it. You know when you first become a believer and you're like, that doesn't make any sense, and you kind of have to really go on faith? And you get into it more and more. Years and years go by and you mature and you grow and you're like, oh, that's why God said to do that. That's why I'm supposed to live that way. That's why I'm not supposed to associate with those type of people or do that kind of thing. It's wrong. We know it's wrong. And let me tell you, newsflash, the world was just as black 2,000 years ago in Corinth when they were doing all this type of prostitution and all this stuff in the pagan temples outside the walls of the Corinthian church. So we need to remember that this stuff has gone on since the beginning. Sodom and Gomorrah. So we have to really be careful that we understand that there's a different thing here going on. The people outside are not singing from the same song sheet that you and I are singing from, right? We're not singing together in the band or in the choir and making beautiful music together. That's just not happening. And we have to understand, yes, it's sin. We have to define it as that. But our focus, our energy, should not be to constantly be judging the non-believers out there. Remember what God says in the scripture. He's going to do that. But they are not playing by the same rules as us. And I love that, you know, the slogan for Hebrew National hot dogs, right? Does anybody know the slogan? We answer to a higher power. That's the Hebrew. I love that about hot dogs, how they say, we answer to a higher power. Have you ever seen the commercials? It's like the light of God shines down. And, you know, we answer to a higher power, don't we? We answer to a different standard than the world. So the outside people, judging people outside, yes, it's wrong. But you know what? Let's spend our energy on what's next here. And it's funny. We should call sin sin, and we should also be doing what? We should be praying for those people on the outside, right? Because they're in darkness. They're in darkness. The first step is not for people to realize on the outside that abortion is wrong. The first step is for them to realize that they have sin in their lives, and they need Yeshua, and they need to repent of their sins and die to their flesh, which is what we all believe in here, right? Repent and believe the good news. What did Yeshua first say when he came on his earthly ministry? The first thing he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. It's the first step. You know, we've got to be praying that, number one, those people on the outside would just open their eyes and repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the word judgment or judge has this bad connotation, doesn't it? You think of, oh, I'm going to get judged about something. But there is a lot of scriptural precedent for judging. There were judges in Israel, right? Back when the children of Israel went into the land, and they, after Moses, you had Joshua that brought them into the land, and then they had a series of judges, and those judges kind of ruled Israel. They were judges. Of course, God is the ultimate judge. Let's look at a scripture or two. Psalm 9, verse 8. Again, scriptural precedent for judgment, judging. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. God is the ultimate judge. He's the one that sets the standard for us about what judging is. Let's look back at 1 Corinthians 5, just verse 12 now. Let's read it again. For what do I have with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? What that means is we are to righteously judge those people ourselves inside. Let's look at a scripture, because, you know, the whole thing, judge not, well, that's a mischaracterization of what it really says. John 7:24. If we're not supposed to judge, then why do we have scriptures like this? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So we are called to judge our fellow believers. You know, we're called to judge ourselves too, aren't we? We're called to look at our lives. It does not mean, and this is why I want to caveat all this, this does not mean that we need to be up in each other's business and saying, well, you know what? I just saw what you did today, and you threw that recyclable thing in the regular trash. You know, things like that. We don't need to be like in other people's business about everything that we're doing. But we are called to hold each other accountable, especially, listen to this, especially when it concerns black and white theological issues. If you came to the first membership class, I talked about what we believe here at Karen Orr versus the gray areas. What we believe, and you can read what we believe on our website. That's why I put it up there. We believe in God. We believe in Yeshua. We believe in Israel as God's chosen people, the Jewish people. Those are things that are just every day of the week, that's stuff that's right. Black and white theological issues. When you see issues that are black and white and theologically wrong with people, there is a way to judge them in the right way. But we have to be very careful. So let's look back in the context of this chapter, right? 1 Corinthians. I said we're going back to Corinth. What was going on in Corinth was there was a lot of sexual immorality within the congregation, because there was a lot of sexual immorality around in Corinth itself. Sexual immorality is defined as immoral or inappropriate sexual behavior. It includes fornication, adultery, homosexuality, and other things. In Acts chapter 15, listen, we're talking about the black and white theological issues, right? In Acts chapter 15, the early leaders of the growing messianic movement got together, and there was a lot of problems, right? You had all these types of believers in Yeshua. You had the really devout Jewish believers that were faithfully following Torah, and some of them were saying, you know, those Gentiles that are coming to the Lord, those non-Jews, they've got to keep the Torah. They've got to become circumcised. They were what's called the Judaizers. And then you had all these other type of people in between. And so it eventually got to the point where the early leaders of the congregation got together. And they said in Acts 15, what are we going to put down that are the black and white theological issues, the non-negotiables for Gentiles? And they came up with a list of four things. Four non-negotiables. Number one, abstain from food sacrificed to idols. Number two, abstain from blood. Number three, abstain from the meat of strangled animals. Number four, abstain from sexual immorality. So you understand that when he's talking, when Paul's talking about in Corinthians about judging fellow believers in that congregation because of the prevalent sexual immorality, it's not something that, oh, well, you know, it's kind of a gray issue. It was a black and white theological issue. So the first thing is when you see a situation, you got to ask yourself, listen, is that somebody throwing the recycling bottle into the garbage can, so to speak? Or is that something wrong theologically that, oh my gosh, they don't believe in God? You know what I mean? Or, oh my gosh, they don't believe in the deity of Yeshua. We have to separate these things out because we can somehow take gray areas and make them as if they're black and white. And that's kind of dangerous. But there are these black and white issues that really require us to take a step back and look at our lives. The point is, if you see a fellow believer doing something that's clearly against Scripture, you can and should point that out with a couple of caveats, right? You don't want to just go up to somebody and just say, hey, I don't know you, but I've noticed that you're doing such and such. You know, I think we have to show a little bit more, what's the word? I don't know, but we have to just be a little bit more sensitive when we do things like that. But it's not necessarily wrong. You have to listen with ears to hear today, okay? This is meat stuff. This isn't like, oh, now Rabbi said I can go judge people in the congregation. So this is like mature believer stuff, you know? Got to put on the big boy pants to hear this. This is stuff that's really serious because we don't want to get this wrong. And we don't want to offend other people too. But let's talk about, back to Yeshua's words. You know, Yeshua didn't just say something out there and then just said, okay, you go interpret that the way you want. He gave us some examples, didn't he? Matthew chapter 7, let's go back there. Let's read verses 3 through 5. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. The problem is we have a lot of planks in our eyes, and we can't see clearly enough to differentiate the speck in other people's eyes. This happens a lot. This happens to every one of us. The key is to make sure you're right in your life on a certain subject before you come and you, as I like to say, and you want to be the Holy Spirit to somebody. Be careful when you want to be the Holy Spirit to somebody. Do you have this issue in your own life? Have you examined your own life? If not, you're going to be a hypocrite and you're going to be a bad witness to them, and it's going to cause more harm than good. You see how judging is okay, but you have to do it in the right way, because it can become worse if you do it the wrong way. Check yourself first. It's easy to point out problems with other people and miss the glaring things that are going on in your lives. We need to examine ourselves first without bias, and that is very, very tough to do. You know, it's so funny. We go around the house, my kids and I, and my wife, and we go around and we like to look at somebody and say, you're awesome, you know? And that's just to make them feel good and everything. And we do that, you know, and it's not because nobody's without sin in my house, because, you know, I'm infallible, my wife's infallible, my kids do things, but it's just like, you know, building somebody up. But, you know, we go around a lot of times, don't we, in our lives and say, I'm awesome, you know? I got this stuff down. You guys are all the problem, but I'm awesome. You know? We have to be careful. Maybe we're not as awesome as we think we are a lot of the times. And here's really the crux of what I want to get to today. when you're judging somebody, it's really a matter of the heart. How are you judging? With what context, with what intent are you coming to someone in judgment? Maybe you have a legitimate thing that you want to point out to a brother or sister in love, but are you coming with a prejudice yourself or a bias? Many times we judge people because why? We want fairness. You know, oh my gosh, my house, again, my house. We're talking a lot about my family today. But, you know, everything is, that's not fair, Dad. You know, that's not fair. You know, everything's about fairness when you're a kid, isn't it? And so-and-so got, you know, two popsicles and I only got one. Remember, Dad, when you gave that second popsicle to her a month ago? And I'm like, a month ago? Really? But this happens. We're all about fairness because at the very root of it, we want to be, you know, fairly treated the way everybody else is. So a lot of times we judge people because we want fairness. It's an eye for an eye, right? They did something bad, so they should be hurt because they did something bad because it's not fair what they did to me. They hurt me, so they need to hurt. And you know, that sounds terrible when you say it out loud, but you know, you think it in our heads sometimes. Are we coming from a place of pain and not love when we're saying that somebody is doing something wrong and we're judging somebody? Is it because of a bias we have? Is it because we want everything fair? You know, sometimes life isn't fair. I've heard that many times in my life, and it is so true. Let's look at a couple scriptures. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. When you're coming to somebody with bias or prejudice and judging them, we really are not loving them. We are not lovingly judging them. Hatred stirs up strife, causes more problems, but love, what? Covers all sins. Proverbs 17:9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Very interesting scripture. A lot of times when there's a small matter, maybe we feel like we need to go and judge that person. We need to go and correct that person. We need to go tell that person, there's something wrong with your life. You need to do this. But sometimes we need to let the Lord deal with it, maybe. And he who covers a transgression shows love. I'm not saying that you should say, that's sin, I'm just going to let them keep sinning. I'm saying we need to pick and choose when we judge people, because we have to be very careful that we have the right intent and that it's worthy enough for us to go to somebody and say, you know, there's something in your life you need to think about. Do we seek to lovingly point something out to somebody when we judge? Or do we seek to be fair? You know, we want it to be fair, maybe vengeance or something like that. Let's read from the book of James, chapter 2, verse 4. This is a powerful scripture. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? When we judge other people, what is our intent? Do we have evil thoughts, or do we have what the scripture says, to love your neighbor as you love yourself? Are we coming to them because we love them and we want to help them, or are we coming to them because they're doing something wrong? You know what I'm saying? There's a difference. We have to understand there is a difference. So, you know, as I close today, the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul, was laboring to build this congregation in Corinth. He was doing everything he could to get them on the right track, to get them on the right footing as they started their congregation, because there was a lot of issues. Corinth was a pagan city full of a lot of serious, sinful issues. And some of that stuff spilled into the congregation in Corinth. So Paul was trying to explain to the Corinthian believers what they should and should not spend their time on and their energy. You know, work within the community. If you see something, if you want to help the congregation grow and help each other grow, we can point it out in love. Sometimes that does mean judging somebody in love. So if you take that, what was going on in Corinth, we can apply it today, what's going on in the Savannah area, right, for us. We live today in Corinth. All you have to do is turn on the news, the internet. I mean, you can find a lot of bad Corinthian things going on, even outside these walls. There's a lot of things, and it's just as relevant to us today to talk about the fact that the world sometimes spills over into our congregations, doesn't it? The world, the issues that are going on out there, sometimes spill over in here. And we have to be very careful that we preserve God here. We preserve the love of the Lord. And we balance grace and truth. It is very important to hold each other accountable in a loving, godly way, in a healthy way, because that's how congregations grow together. So a couple of quick practical points. People are all at different places in their walk. It's not fruitful to go up to somebody that's a baby believer and say, you got this major sin in your life. We need to get down to the bottom of it right away. You know, maybe they're not ready. Use discernment. You know what? Tap into what God has to say about it. Tap into the Ruach HaKodesh. Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, should I say something to somebody? He'll tell you. He knows that they're a new believer. He knows the issue they've been dealing with all week, that they're barely holding it together when they come to synagogue. You don't. We are not the Lord. But let's tap into the Lord. We need to go to them, number two, in love and not condemnation, if there is an issue, a legitimate issue. And number three, it works really well if you have a relationship with that person. Don't go up to a stranger in the congregation and say, I've noticed some issues in your life. Let's talk. You need to have a relationship. You know, that's the best way. It actually is the best way for many things, like sharing the Lord with people, too. You know, I've never been a fan of, and this is just my own bias, I've never been a fan of people handing out tracts on the corner, because people, I don't know that person. They haven't gotten to know me, especially Jewish people. Jewish people don't like that. It's like forming a connection, forming a relationship first. And then you let your guard down, and then you know they're not out to hurt you, but they're a friend who cares. So you've established this friendship, you've established this relationship, and then you can speak to them. Then there's an opportunity. But we need to cultivate relationships first, and then let the Lord lead when it's maybe something that we need to lovingly point out. But let's not be hypocrites. Let's go to them with the right intent. Let's go to them after we remove the plank. And you know what? Like I said, if it's a borderline issue, maybe just let it go and say, Lord, here's an issue here, but I'm going to give it to you. You reveal to me if I should say something to my fellow brother or sister. So we have to be very careful, like everything. You know, we read a lot of scriptures about it, but our relationship with each other is very important, because there's two great commandments Yeshua talked about. It's loving God with all your heart, strength, soul, and mind, and it's loving your neighbor as yourself. If you're righteously in love, pointing out things to a fellow believer, you're fulfilling that commandment. If you're pointing your finger at a fellow believer, you're not really fulfilling that commandment. So and if you break down the Torah, you can break it down to the Ten Commandments. And if you break down the Ten Commandments, you can break it down to two: loving God and loving other people. Let's focus this week as you go about your lives, as you think of these things in your life. Maybe it's family members, maybe it's friends, maybe it's congregational people here. Let's focus on loving your neighbor as yourself and letting the Lord lead you as far as this goes. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we come before your throne, and Lord, we have to talk about issues sometimes that are very difficult to understand. And I pray right now, Lord God, that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, I pray that you would just open up our eyes to see this clearly, Lord. I prayed before that there would be clarity when I speak today, Lord God, because this is the word, your very words. And I pray that you would just convict people where they need to be convicted and show people areas that they need to be shown. And Lord, if there's something in our lives that we have been doing that are not lined up, that are not lined up with your word, Lord, right now we just give it to you. We confess it, Lord. We ask for forgiveness, and we just give it up to you right now. Lord, if there's areas where we've had that plank and we have gone to other people and tried to point out specks in their eyes, Lord, forgive us for that. Help us to just give that to you right now, Lord God. We don't want that. And I just pray right now that you would just show us, Lord God. Show us how to relate to each other. Show us how to love our neighbor as ourself. Because by doing that, we're going to be loving you even more, Lord God. So I just pray right now that you would just take this and that you would minister to each and every one of us here and all those that are going to be listening to the podcast from now on, Lord, that you would just minister to them and that you would touch them with your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, Lord, and that you would just show us all how to grow and be better believers today. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.